Today, I'd like to discuss the biblical calendar. As we were doing last week, we began taking a look at the time bridge, or a key, that unlocks the calendar of history, according to Mr. Camping, in his book, Adam Wayne, and it's been restated in a couple of his other books. And we'll recap that quickly, what we did last week, in a minute. But I'd like to take a look at the biblical calendar and the Mayan calendar and compare these calendars that we're hearing a lot about today. We're hearing a tremendous amount of information about the Mayan calendar. And, it seems like the news media or the newspapers, the television reporters, they're looking for opportunities to give some information about the Mayan calendars. Movies coming out. There's all kinds of information on blogs and websites. It really is on a worldwide scale. My wife was telling me in Bolivia, which is her home country, it's an extremely big deal, which, we can understand because the Mayans come from Mesoamerica or Middle America, Central America, and there would probably be bigger interest in South America and that part of the world. But actually, interest is worldwide. And, it's interesting how there is so much attention devoted to the Mayan calendar, which puts forth the date of the completion of the Great Cycle as December 21st in 2012. And yet the Bible is also putting forth a date, and it's coming strictly from the Scripture, from the Bible itself, which is telling us May 21st in 2011 will be the day of judgment. It'll be that great day for the people of God as they're taken up into heaven, and it'll begin the awful period of torment for 5 months for everyone left behind until October 21st in 2011. So why is it that when we have these two dates and that are coming forth from ancient calendars, they're both ancient calendars, that one is really like a media darling, and the other one is practically all but ignored in the media. Now, it's true. If you go into your computer, if you go on your computer and on Google and you type in May 21, 2011, you're going to find thousands of hits. It's being discussed by many people in the world, but it's not really being discussed like from the media perspective that the date for the Mayans is. Why? The biblical calendar is an ancient calendar. The Bible was written over a period of about 1,500 years from the time of Moses until the first century A.D., and that dates 3,500 years about from our present time. That's ancient. That's an extremely old document when we are reading the pages of the Bible. Now, in one way, we could say the Mayan calendar predates the Bible because it goes back to 3,000 plus B.C., and so it's around over 5,000 years old. However, God who wrote the Bible is eternal God and has an eternal perspective, and so he goes back from eternity past. You can't get any more ancient than that. He is the Ancient of Days, and so we wonder why is there this this difference between these two calendars as both are presenting dates. But then when you think about it, you might wonder for a little bit, and it's interesting to think that the media is not focusing on it. However, it's not surprising. For instance, what about creation? is put forth in the media today, in the news outlets. Now, how many times have you read a story in a newspaper or on an internet site that referred to evolution? Countless times. If you're reading an article, you're hearing an announcer, there's always references to millions of years. It really is all practically encompassing the whole media. Even though evolution is the most ridiculous idea that has ever been presented. It's a ridiculous theory that's presented as fact, it's presented as truth, and it doesn't take anyone very long, if they think about it, to realize it is foolish. It is really a foolish thing to think that all of the complex creation we see around us evolved. Now, I referred to this before because I think it's one of my favorite examples that I found where an individual who's a secular scientist or a secular person was unconvinced about evolution, even though he doesn't accept the Bible, he said that it's more likely for a tornado to go through a junkyard and in its aftermath form a Boeing 747 than it is for man to think that all this world and all the creatures upon it with all of its complexities developed and evolved over a period of time. Now think about a tornado, because it causes a lot of destruction, just like a big bang would, and it goes through a junkyard. Let's even give it a few more helps and say it's a old plane junkyard. There's a lot of parts for airplanes in there, and a tornado goes through. Is it going to form a 747? Is it going to form a fully functional plane in every way, where your seat belts work and the light no smoking comes on? Is it going to do that? How about if you give it 1,000 years? Have a tornado go through there for 1,000,000 years. Will it ever do that? Oh yeah, it's in the realm of possibility. Sure it is. Sure it is. Could it form like a little race cart? A little race cart with only a few gears and moving parts? Could a tornado form that? No way. There's no way. It's not really, truthfully, and honestly in the realm of possibility. And how much more complex are you and me, or any human being, than a plane or a car or anything? How extremely much more complex is man than any of man's inventions? And yet it's not even a possibility for that to happen. And that's what our scientists believe. So it's interesting that we're kind of seeing the same thing with dates, with the Mayan calendar. Oh, everybody is interested in talking about that and discussing that. It's really a curiosity that people are very much willing to talk about, but when it comes to May 21, 2011, no, it's a different matter when it comes to the media. Well, last week we were looking at the time bridge of Israel's sojourn in Egypt. If you can turn to Exodus 6, and I'll read verses 16 through 20. And a little later, we'll discuss the Mayans some more and how actually the Mayan calendar supports the biblical calendar as the faithful and true calendar. In Exodus 6, verse 16, it says, "And these are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. And the years of the life of Levi were 137 years. The sons of Gershon, Libni and Shimei, according to their families, and the sons of Kohath, Amram and Izhar and Hebron and Uziel, And the years of the life of Kohath were 133 years. And the sons of Merari, Mahali and Mushi, these are the families of Levi according to their generations. And Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. And we were looking at the key to unlocking the biblical calendar, which is to realize in Genesis 5 and 11, when God speaks of one individual, biblical calendar reference patriarch, begetting the next individual, that individual normally would not be born until the first person died. And upon his death year, then the next person named would be born, and his lifespan would be the calendar. Now, actually, the Bible calendar is different from our Gregorian calendar. So is the Mayan calendar different than our Gregorian calendar. The Bible calendar is geared to, or it's joined with, the lifespans of individuals. Now, there's a similarity with our calendar, because this is the year 2009 A.D., Adeno Domino, the year of our Lord. So, supposedly 2009 years ago, Christ was born. Now, there was an error with the calculation in this calendar. Jesus was actually born in 7 B.C., not in the year zero. But still, the whole span of time, the whole generation since the cross, is identified with the person of Christ. This year is related to him and his birth. And so we'll actually, the rest of time up until 2011, it's all geared to the lifespan of an individual. Now, when we read about the flood, we find that God refers to it occurring in the 600th year of Noah's life. Now Jesus didn't enter into the world at that time, so God used individuals to keep track of time, just like our modern calendar. The only difference is that Noah's period would end because he would die. And then, how did God continue? With the next person who would be born in the line of Noah's family and down through biblical history. So the difference is that the biblical calendar is not just related to one person like ours, but to many people. And we have to follow their lifespans, like we see. I know it's hard to get a hold of it just hearing it. In Genesis 5, it says in, verse 15, and Mahalaleel lived 65 years and begat Jared. Now, question, was Jared born that year when Mahalaleel was 65 years old? Did he enter into the world at that time? No, he was begat. So someone was born or conceived in that line who would later bring forth Jared. Now, that's how God has hidden it for centuries through this type of language. And Mahalaleel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalaleel were 895 years, and he died. Now, at this point in the same year is when Jared would actually enter into the world and be born. And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. Now, it's the same thing with Enoch. Enoch is not born when Jared is 162. He's born upon Jared's death. And then Enoch's 365 years are figured for the next generation of the calendar. In other words, for the most part, not in every case, sometimes it is immediate father, son, but for the most part, the Bible's calendar is end to end. And this is one reason why the church today has no understanding of time and therefore no understanding of judgment, because they have a wrong biblical calendar. They have an incorrect calendar. Their calendar does not discern what the Lord led Mr. Camping to see in the book Adam when, that it's head to head, or when one man dies, the same year another man would be born. And so they get their figures all mixed up, and the churches, if they refer to any kind of timeline of history, would say that creation began in 4004 B.C., which is 7,009 years off. That's quite a bit to be off. It's kind of hard to hide 7,009 years. That's a lot of time that the church is unable to explain. And of course, it's going to produce all kinds of difficulties with your chronology. For instance, with Usher, who's the person from Northern Ireland, he was a bishop of the church of his day. He's the one who developed the chronology, and his date for creation was 4004. Now, he liked that because the church of old thought that Jesus was born in 4 B.C. They knew he wasn't born in the year 0. They thought he was born in 4 B.C. because Herod died in the year 4 B.C. And that's the same Herod that wanted the children slain. And so they latched on to that, and Usher came up with a date exactly 4,000 years prior. Nice round numbers. Nice 4,000 years. And that really convinced them to accept this date, which means Usher's date for the flood was 2348 B.C. That's early. That's very early. But that was Bishop Usher's date for Noah's flood. And he also saw Abram coming out of the land of the Chaldees and getting that call from God in 1921 B.C. And then the Exodus in 1491 B.C. You could tell, please don't memorize these dates. They're all off. They're all wrong. And just like we noticed last week, that many theologians of the past, they do not believe that Israel was 430 years in Egypt. And we're talking about John Calvin, Matthew Henry, John Gill, Bishop Usher. They do not believe what God says in... Well, of course, some of these men, I think, were faithful. They were living at a time when God wasn't opening up man's eyes to the calendar of history. But it's hard to argue with Exodus 12, verses 40 and 41, where it says, "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of Jehovah went out from the land of Egypt." That's pretty clear. That's pretty clear. But what theologians of the past and what Usher did was they start the 430-year period from the time that Abram left Ur of the Chaldees. And they figure 25 years, until he was 100, he was in the land of Canaan, sojourning. And then he gave birth to Isaac, so you add 60 years, because Isaac gives birth to Jacob when he's age 60. So you have 25 years for Abram, 60 years for Isaac, and then 130 years for Jacob, which totals 215. And then Jacob, at the age of 130, entered Egypt. And the theologians, many of them, not all, like was mentioned last week, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, which is a pretty good commentary, disagree. And they say, no, Israel was in Egypt 430 years. But many of them, and many of them well-respected, I was really disappointed to hear Matthew Henry was on this list, but many of them, faithful men of old, they believed that the 430 was divided into two parts, 215 years sojourning in Canaan, 215 years in Egypt, and then they came out. Why did they believe that? To fit in with the chronology that Bishop Usher had discovered, he thought, from the Bible, where there's no time for 430 years in Egypt. And they were greatly influenced. Usher's chronology was put into many of the King James Bibles later on. And so this was very influential to a great many people in the churches for a long time. Usher, I think, was 16th or 17th century when he developed his calendar. So the church has had this wrong understanding of time embedded in it for hundreds of years. Well, you know, there's other problems with Usher's calendar. And for instance, again, the flood date is 2348 B.C. Now, secular historians or archaeologists, they date the Egyptian dynasties, the first Egyptian dynasty, around 3000 or 3100 B.C., 600 or 700 years prior to the flood, according to Usher. And what would happen if the flood we read about in Genesis 7 would come upon the world after it was over? Would it leave any pyramids standing? Would there be remnants of ancient civilizations still remaining when the waters of the earth were 15 cubits above the highest mountain? No, the pressure destroyed everything. Everything. It's why we have the dinosaur bones and all the fossils we have today, because of the tremendous amount of pressure. No pyramids would be left standing, and there would be no historical record. Now, unfortunately, a lot of the creation science ministries that are out there that do an excellent job when it comes to discussing creation versus evolution, if they get into the area of Egyptian history and the early dynasties, they do not believe that these dynasties were here at the dates that the secular archaeologists put forth around 3000, 3100 B.C. because they follow Usher's calendar. They're following that same calendar, and they think the flood was 2348 and you know, like ministries like Answers in Genesis. And they say, well, you know, what are we going to believe? We're going to believe the Bible? We're going to believe these archaeologists that have nothing to do with God? But the problem is they're at fault in this case, because the Bible does not put forth this date. When was the date of the flood? The true biblical date of the flood was 4990 B.C. That's the accurate date, some almost 2,600 years earlier, which that true and accurate date for the flood would leave plenty of time for Egyptian dynasties to go to 3000 or 3100 B.C., for the invention of writing that is 5,000 years old, according to some dating methods, that goes back to about 3000 B.C. There's plenty of time for that. But I think a lot of the creation science ministries lose a lot of their legitimacy in the eyes of the secular scientists, because they try to deny these other ancient civilizations existed at the time that a lot of evidence puts forth that they did exist, because they're in error following Usher's chronology of time. If they understood the true and correct biblical calendar, they would realize there's plenty of time for that. There's also plenty of time for a Mayan civilization. And, you know, the Mayan civilization is everywhere. And I think it's just going to increase. When we were handing out tracts, actually it's happened to me here in Philadelphia area, as well as in Brazil, without fail, somebody's going to come up and say, I thought it was 2012, because we're holding up a Judgment Day track that says May 21, 2011. I thought it was 2012. What about the Mayans? And normally you get in a few discussions with people who have heard about this Mayan calendar date. And you know, again, it's not surprising. And I don't think it's good for people to focus on that when it's not going to happen. We're never going to get to even the year 2012, let alone December 21 in the year 2012, because God will finish this world in the year 2011. But it kind of made me curious, what about this Mayan calendar? What is it? And so I was curious enough to do a little research on it. And the Mayan calendar was in a land, or the Mayans were a Mesoamerica people that lived in what is now known as Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, Belize, and southern Mexico. And they built pyramids just like the Egyptians did. And actually, one Mayan pyramid is a physical calendar itself. There's four staircases around the pyramid, each one with 91 steps, and then a platform, which is 365. So the pyramid itself is a physical calendar that they could mark steps according to the days of the year, because we have 365.2422 days in our year. And God designed that year. That's based on His creation of the sun and the moon and the stars. It's a celestial clock that He designed that made the calendar to be exactly 365.2422 days. And yet the Mayan calendar, we really can't say one calendar, there's four. There's four calendars. They have one calendar, it's called the Solkin calendar, that's 260 days. And it's related to either the crop cycle or cultivating the ground, or something to a woman's period of pregnancy. And yet that's far short of the solar year. And so they developed a second calendar called a Ha'ab, which is 360 days long. And, you know, I won't get into how they kept track of time, but there was a key. There is a key. Just like we looked at the four generations in Exodus chapter 6, that key that unlocks the biblical calendar of history, the Mayans also had a key. They were very much into the numbers 20 and the number 13. And so they had cycles that would go for 20-day cycles. Now, they combined the Solkin and the Hob calendar to form what is called a calendar round. It's their third calendar. It's a 52-year calendar that the Mayans also developed, but you know, that has nothing to do with 2012. The fourth calendar they developed is called a long count calendar, and it's the calendar that spans 5,125 years from the Mayan start date of 3114 BC until this date in 2012. And let me just give an example they gave on this website. And the website was How Stuff Works. If you want to find out anything about just about anything, you can go there. The date of July 20th in 1969. Anybody know what happened on that date? It was when the Apollo 11 landed on the moon. That's the example year they gave. I'm not good enough in their calendar to relate it to a biblical date, so I have to go with theirs. They write it in a series of five digits, 12.17.15.17.0. And each one of those five digits represents an aspect of keeping track of time. They read it left to right. The first space is a baktun, which is 144,000 days. The second space is a katan, which is 7,200 days. The third space is a tun, which is 360 days. And then the fourth is a yuanal, which is 20 days. And the fifth, kin, which is 1 day. So when we read July 20th, 1969, which sure is a lot easier than trying to understand the Mayan calendar, it was extremely complex. We would read left to right, the first 12 is 12 times 144,000 days. The second space, 17, is 17 times 7,200 days. 15 times 360 days. So you have to do all those calculations, and then you'll figure out, and I was probably off, but I came to about 5,082 years from their start date of 3114 to 1969. And it's very complex, and we can see how man's mind was not as presented by the world in ancient times, that they weren't very smart or intellectual. The fact that they could build pyramids and come up with calendars like this shows us that man definitely had great intelligence, and so that's what is going to happen. Now, when the date of December 21st in 2012 comes about, their calendar, and it's kind of caught my eye, their calendar will read 13.0.0.0.0. And I thought, whoa, 13 and all those zeros, that's interesting. But it has nothing to do with 13,000 years. You go 13 times 144,000 baktons, and you come up with 5,125.36 years. In other words, 3114 BC until that date in 2012, December 21st, is that number of years. And by the way, when you hear people say that it's 2012 and that date, you know they have to minus 1 year because there's no year zero. The secular world is doing that with the Mayan calendar. So please feel comfortable when we say all the time that from the flood of 4990 BC until 2011 is 7001 minus 1 because there's no year zero, that there's universal acceptance regarding that, because 3114 plus 2012 would actually be 5126 years, but they minus 1. Because they recognize there's no year zero. So that, again, that's not a camping innovation. That is a scientific fact. That is how we keep track of time, going from B.C. dates to A.D. dates or New Testament dates. Well, now, huh? 3114 plus 2012 would be 5,126 years, but they minus 1.
Why is 3114?
Well, I'm getting to that. Well, yeah, you know, it's amazing that the Mayans, this ancient civilization, developed their calendars. You know, they had their yearly calendar, but they wanted to develop a calendar that could record history. And for instance, it's easy for us to look back and say 1611 was the year that we got our King James Bible. That is very simple, isn't it? We realize 2011, 400 years later. But they were not at that point, and so they had to do their own calculations in the way that is very complex. Now also, think about this. People are eager to learn the Mayan calendar, which is superiorly more complex than the biblical calendar. And here we are saying, you know, God gave us the dates of the flood, 4990 B.C., and he tied it in 2 Peter 3, one day is as 1,000 years, in the context of the flood, 7,000 years. And I've heard people say, oh, that's too much for me. That's too complicated. That's not complicated at all. People are digging into the Mayan calendar dates with enthusiasm. And they're far more complex than the biblical dates we have. And so I think it's just an excuse people have. Oh, that calendar, yeah, that's too tough. That's too complicated. Well, no, it's not. And by the way, one day is 1,000 years reminds me that that was another idea put forth by Bishop Usher, that the world would ultimately be 6,000 years old upon its completion because of 2 Peter 3, that they accepted the creation date of 4004, and one day is 1,000 years. After 6,000 years, that's all the time God would give the earth. And many churches support that or have supported in the past because that day has come and gone. And they had no problems with that. No problems at all in understanding or accepting that. Well, the date of 3114 B.C., why did the Mayans have this as their foundation date or the start of the great cycle? Anybody know? I'm sure you do, some of you. Anyone know? It was 3114 B.C. was 1,876 years after the flood of Noah's day. That doesn't mean anything, but it does mean there was quite a length of time for the world to develop, for ancient civilizations to build their pyramids, for us to have the history that we do find is in the world today, for the Mayans to have existed over 5,000 years ago in order to give us their calendar. But why 3114? Well, let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 1. First Chronicles 1, verse 19 says, "And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, because in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan." Now also in Genesis 10, and verse 24, "And Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. And his brother's name was Joktan." Now, Eber was not the immediate father of Peleg. The where it says "were born," that's the same word used of Amram and Jochebed, where it says she bare unto Amram two sons, Moses and Aaron. And in one account it says Miriam. She bare Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. It does not mean that Jochebed was the immediate mother or that Amram was the immediate father. And we looked at that word bare and we saw it's the Hebrew word yalad that is translated as beget. Beget or begat in Genesis 5 and 11 where the calendar references are. And we also looked at Genesis 46, and we saw in verse 15, "These be the sons of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob." That's that same word referring to Amram and Jochebed. It's the same word "born" referring to Eber, who had two sons, including Peleg, born unto him, "which she bare unto Jacob in Padan Aram." And now skip to the last part of the verse. "All the souls of his sons and his daughters were 30 and 3. Did Leah bear 30 and 3 children? How about verse 18? Speaking of Zilpah, who was a handmaiden given to Jacob. "And these she bare unto Jacob, even 16 souls." Actually, Leah bare 6, 7 including Dinah, and Zilpah bore 2 immediate children to Jacob, and so with Milpah, the other handmaid, bore 2, and Rachel had 2 sons. But if you look at verses, where's the other verse? Verses 22 and 24, you'll see that there's many more souls born to these women that are listed than actually children they had, because it's referring to descendants. And God can say there were born to Peleg 2 sons, were born to Eber, two sons, and it does not mean that it was an immediate father-son relationship. Same thing with Amram and Jochebed, that she bore Moses and Aaron. No, she did not. Her descendants bore Moses and Aaron. Going back to Genesis 10, Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. And Peleg, his very name means to divide. And God knew it was going to happen, so he called him Divide. Because the one thing we know about Peleg is in his days the earth was divided. Well, we also know that the time that, here it is. The time, the biblical timeline, this is the accurate one, dates Eber being born in 3617 B.C. and Eber died in 3153. That's the year Peleg was born, 3153, and Peleg dies 2914. God gives us their lifespan so we can calculate that. So Peleg was the biblical calendar reference patriarch from 3153 B.C. until 2914 B.C. And right in between, actually 39 years after he was born, we have the Mayans developing a calendar with a foundation date of 3114 B.C. Within the time span, God isn't exact, and he doesn't tell us exactly when the earth was divided. But the earth was divided, wasn't it? Wasn't the earth one huge continent? Isn't that what even the scientists of the world have realized centuries ago when they began sailing the seas and forming maps and they could see the outline of the coast of Africa and the outline of South America? And one gentleman even drew a picture of the world, putting them together nice and neatly. The earth was one big continent. Also, they spoke one language for a long time. We find in Genesis 11 that God divided the languages. He confused their tongues, and then people began to spread out, and probably not soon after or in relationship with that, God physically divided the earth. He moved continents apart from one another, making it more difficult to contact and to communicate. Because God realized for his plan, it was better for the earth to be confounded by multiple different languages and have far reaches of space between them. Because when men get to trouble, when men get together, there's trouble. There's big trouble. They tried to build the Tower of Babel. And look at the world today, now that much of the world is coming back in unison regarding language. Just, I won't say that's the cause of it, but it certainly can play a part in man's continuing decline in the world and his sinfulness. But, you see, God is the one who moved the continents. Historically, it was called continental drift, and the secular scientists recognize this, even though they say, or they measure the earth just moving little bits of space at this time, the earth nonetheless is still moving, and today the modern science refers to it as a technological plate. Something like that. That the world is moving, the continents are moving. So here we find more than likely South America split off of Africa and is moving across the ocean, and the ocean is forming in between. And this happened in the days of Peleg, which was also the days of the Mayans. And the Mayans developed a calendar at this time, we can say this, they developed a calendar in the days of Peleg when at some point the earth was divided. And it could be that 3114 BC was the year, or maybe not too long after, because they had to keep track of this. Can you imagine if all of North America began to start drifting like a huge glacier? We started moving and traveling in distance. What it would do to our world? It would be a huge occurrence. That, of course, it would. We look back at 9/11, and people mark the time of that. Some people do. It's been so many years since that, or World War II. But to think of continents drifting apart and forming their own continent, that would have been something where the Mayans would have been interested in keeping track of, and more than likely they developed their calendar from that point. So the Mayan calendar actually goes to show that the biblical calendar, not of Usher, but that Family Radio has put forth in the book Adam When and in other places, is accurate, because it gives space for the Mayan civilization to even exist where Usher's calendar doesn't. And the date of the beginning of the great cycle of this Mayan calendar is likely related to the time when the continents shifted, and God therefore would have influenced them through that outward action. And God, who's in control of all men, and He works all things out according to the purpose of His will, could have, of course, He definitely allowed it, but He could have even set it in motion in order that the world at this time would be curious and discussing the Mayan calendar of December 21st in 2012. And even though it's off and it's not accurate according to the end of the world, still we can see how the Mayan calendar does support what we've learned from the Bible as Bible truth. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, we do thank You for Your grace, and we thank You for Your providence and Your foreknowing all things and for ordaining all events, and we know that You are in charge of everything. And Father, we don't need this information to know we're there. But we do pray that maybe some people who are thinking about the Mayan calendar as being important in any way might see that it has no importance when showed in the light of Your word, the Bible. And it's the Bible that is always perfect and accurate and true. And Father, we pray that You would be with us the rest of this day as we do have lunch and fellowship, and we ask for wisdom in all things, and we ask for Your blessing in all things, not for anything that we do or could ever do, but for Christ's sake, we do ask that You would help us and be with us and bless us for Jesus' sake. And we pray these things in His name. Amen. Okay, let's have a hymn, and then if anybody has any questions, we'll take them.
We're going to close with number 632. So in the Blue Trinity Hymnal, if you turn to 632, and please stand with me. Stretch your legs a little bit here. God be with you till we meet again. We'll sing all four stanzas of 632. Please be seated for a question and answer session now.
All right. If anyone has any questions or comments that you'd like to make regarding the study or anything else, you're welcome. Yes, Scott.
Did you ever look at Genesis 46, 6 and 7?
Genesis 46, verse 6, and they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons, and his sons' sons with him, his daughters.
His daughters and his sons' daughters.
His sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is the whole seed of Jacob entering
it. Okay, but that can't. It's not his sons. It can't be granddaughters unless they came from, those daughters came from Dinah or the two handmaids, right? He only had one daughter. See, it says his daughter.
Oh, yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. That's right. We're only told about Dinah.
Yeah.
So there could have been more children. But let's look at Genesis 46, 15. These be the sons of Leah, which he bare unto Jacob in Padan Aram, with his daughter Dinah. All the souls of his sons and his daughters were 30 and 3. Now, we know that Leah had 6 sons and 1 daughter, but this has to be counting descendants, like you're saying, that children from daughters and so forth. Okay, yes, Lester.
You were mentioning about the lion calendar. How does that lion calendar mix with the biblical calendar?
Well, it's a totally different calendar, and it's man's calendar. So we know the only trustworthy source is the Bible and the Bible's calendar. But the interesting aspect of the Mayan calendar is it's its starting point, 3114 B.C., because it fits in with the days of Peleg. And we know God divided the world, the earth, at that time in his days. And so that would probably be the beginning point, but it is speculation.
So how does the Mayan calendar in the years, what was the year, if you have 4990 B.C., what was the year of the Mayan calendar?
Well, their calendar goes from 3114 B.C. into 2012.
Yes.
It's 5,125 years. Because they call it the Great Cycle.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do it from memory, but they had a fascination with 20.
Yeah.
The Tun is 360 days.
Uh-huh.
20 times 360 gives you a Kutun of 7,200 days.
Right.
20 times that gives you the Bakhtun of 144,000 days. So in those five digits, when one number would get to a point of turning over, it would add a number to the higher digit. And then finally at the end, on that day, it will read 13.000. All the other four digit places are zeros because it's gone to its highest point, which is 13.
Yeah.
They also had some interesting comments about 13, but then it recycles.
Yeah, recycles.
So we don't have to worry about that in 2012. I wanted to look at it because so many people do come up and speak to you about the Mayan calendar, and also there's people who indicate the biblical calendar is too complex to understand, and so I don't think it is at all. Well, for some, but for most people, they can understand it.
Okay, my last question is that I had a talk with somebody before they believe that the Christ is coming at 2012, and because they're putting their trust in the Mayan calendar. Does this have something to do with Darwin and the rest of these theologians? It has something to do with this.
Did you say Darwin?
Darwin, yeah.
Well, there's. You know, the world.
He's an abolitionist, you know.
The world is, I would say, involved with the Mayan calendar, the New Age, and
New Age, yeah.
Yeah, groups like that. They're very much into it.
Gotcha.
Okay. Anyone else have anything here that you'd like to bring up? We're on Pal Talk. Anybody on Pal Talk? Okay. Let's stop here and break for lunch.